Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 6, Episode 10, titled The Winds of Winter. We just watched it. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this episode was everything I wanted it to be.
It really was.
And more, actually. Like, yeah. All the things we talked about in the lead up to this kind of happened.
But with twists that made it still kind of satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had talked a lot about the wildfire and what was going to happen with that.
Sure.
And the twist there was, hey, it's not just wildfire, there's also a battle to see if Lancel can get there.
Yeah, and if Margaery can get out, and what will Tommen do?
And none of them got out.
Yeah.
And Tommen, holy shit, Tommen. My mind was blown. Blown, and that was 10 minutes into the episode.
Dude, this was old school Game of Thrones. Like, just, and like, with the brutality, and I felt like, yeah, also kind of tastefully done, because there was a lot of, like, hardcore, brutal, dark things happened in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
But I felt like Miguel Sapochnik really really walked that fine line between, like, you know, what do you call that? Voyeuristic and morbid versus, like, being turned off by how sensational it is.
Okay, sure.
You know, because I know that can, like, if like, the camera keeps going for another 30 seconds, it goes from, like, oh, man, to, like, oh, man.
Right, like, and Unella or whatever.
Yeah. And there was another one I remember, like, there was something really brutal. But then, again, like, when Grandmaster Pycelle got it, like, they didn't really spare any details. And the fact it was children made it even, like, oh, God, it's so fucked up.
I don't even know where to start with this, because, like,
So I have an opening statement.
Okay, bring it.
Because I feel like I finally am starting to understand what they're doing with this adaptation. And, like, you know, like, the adapting the material from the books and the bullet points to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
There's some criticism about, like, you know, why can't you just do it like it is in the books, or even adhere more closely? Like, why have you gone kind of wild? And I kind of feel like that, you know, right or wrong, their philosophy is we want to have a certain pace and certain high points that we hit at each season at certain points.
Okay. They're doing a TV show and their formula.
So like, you know, we talk a lot about the remixes in The Walking Dead, where it's just like they're just changing it for change's sake. I think they're changing it, and sometimes significantly, from the books, but then they take those pieces of the stew and they stitch them back together. Like in this, we'll probably talk about in the spoilers podcast on Friday, that they took literal words out of other characters' mouths, gave it to different characters, sometimes split the dialogue between one character and then pass it off to another, and like these different situations, just so all this stuff, instead of kind of having these weird high points and disjointed things and plots that go nowhere, everything kind of neatly at the end of the season came together, bang.
Yeah, it did. It did on all fronts, I think.
And I mean, I feel like that, like, again, you could quibble about, like, well, why couldn't they just done Dorne the way, you know, if the point of Dorne is the lead up to the Fire and Blood.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this version actually goes somewhere awesome, which is the unification of Dorne and the Tyrells with this Targaryen alliance.
Right.
Was I crazy, or did I see a couple Dornish sails in the battle? Okay, I thought
so. If they're dot sort of thing. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's really going to Sun Spear. It's really right. Going that alliance came together quickly.
It did. A lot of things happened quickly, like the Arya stuff.
The sail dyers in Meereen, like, they were just dyeing sails black round the clock, working apparently their dying fingers through the bone.
I guess so. Black and red and
yeah. Then you got the guys
red and tan, and
I bet some of those dragons look pretty shitty. You know
what do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, the dragons in the back.
Were they helping out with the dying? Were they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying
all, like, hands, guys, come on. Yeah. Drogon, get in here.
They just strap big red paintbrush to Drogon's wingtips and wave some goats around and just... It's more of a dragon impression, really. They dipped right. Drogon in paint and had him, like, you know, put a goat in the middle of each sail. Yeah, that,
all right.
But that's the silly stuff. I mean, honestly, I don't know where to begin, because I bet every fucking 10 minutes... Bam!
And I feel like this episode could have ended like 6 times.
Sure!
On an epic scene that
sure.
makes you want to go, yes, next season!
Like, and I'm not even totally sure about all the things that I saw. Like, Arya slitting Frey's throat? I don't know if that all lines up and makes sense and is
like time wise or just
in on all kinds of levels. But it was fucking awesome to see.
It was, yeah.
And like
she
they
got
just,
a revenge.
You know, they had the Frey pot. I mean, because that's from the books, but heavily pies, yeah. adapted, and you know, like the whole it kind of leads in lends. I'm just babbling.
it was amazing though. I mean. Every plot got
so many great shots, like the way that he lingered on that open window, and it just like, what the fuck? Like, why am I watching this open window? And then Tommen just jump out.
And the way they just they undersold it. I mean, yeah. It was like Frey was already talking over it before yeah. it was over. Like Tommen's falling, Frey's talking, and they cut away, and it's just like, yeah, that happened.
And that great scene amazing. Of Sansa and Jon on the parapets, where they're kind of like together yet divided.
Uh-huh.
Like, just this fucking guy knows how to shoot a goddamn television show.
Yeah.
This Miguel Sapochnik.
Can I just say, like, Cersei in her all black, like, she's forsaken the gold Lannister. She's got
yeah.
silver on now.
She's like the fucking like, Black Queen.
Holy shit, that looked cool.
Yeah, it did.
From the moment, like, the first moment of the episode where she was, you thought she was preparing for a trial or whatever, to the very end where she's sitting on the throne. I
yeah.
mean,
and there was so wow. much real tension here because, like, as soon as Margaery snuffed out, or sniffed out the plot.
Sniffled it out, yeah.
And I'm like, yes, Margaery's smart enough to see this. I thought she might get away.
Me too, yeah. And she might get Loras out of there. And
nope.
maybe the High Septon will even get away.
Yeah, like, I'm like,
I was like, do not let him get away.
And I also feel like they played with me a little bit on the revelation about Jon Snow's true parentage when when she's whispering in Ned's ear,
and
I'm like, are they really? Yeah. Are they going to pull a wall? Because I was ready to fuck him. I was ready, like, look, if this smashes the black, I like everything that was awesome before is about to be wiped away, and I'm going to go like, I can't believe you do this to your fan base. Because now we, it's like it's stupid.
But then you know the cut right to Jon
right.
and just pulling out from his eyes.
Yes, like I thought. Yes, that was like that. That was a really nice bit of. I don't know. Like that. That's a great way to do that.
It was. And then there was another 20 minutes to the episode.
Which, by the way, I mean, that stuff has been theorized since, like, the first book. Like, they laid the bones of that plot really early. And one of the probably one of the chief pleasures of reading the book was kind of unraveling that whole, all the evidence that pointed towards Jon being the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna Targaryen.
Right, so we might. I'm sure we'll get into that a lot more
in
Tuesday's cast.
And also, like, what does that even mean at this point?
Yeah.
He's king of the north.
What does that mean for Westeros?
Yeah, and like they kind of remix the North Remembers plot, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know that it's great because we don't even know what fruits are going to bear from some of these plots. Like the you know what is Dorne's resistance with the target? What is all that ultimately mean? Where is the Grand Northern Conspiracy
Part
going?
Part of it is ships, but. I'm sure there's something else.
But what I'm saying is like we've only speculated these past 5 years, and now like I feel like that. I mean, again, you can quibble, but I just, I don't wonder how many people are going to say, like, there's no way this is the way this stuff goes down in the books. But I feel like, I always said that in the first few seasons, where sometimes they'd go pretty far afield, mm-hmm. but, like, at the season finales, they'd all snap it to where it's, like, fairly, you know, accurate to where they are in the books. Yeah. And I kind of feel like that this season at the finale is probably a pretty accurate depiction of where we might be at the end of Winds of Winter.
Yeah, I mean it really feels right to me the way that kind of Dany's story starts dovetailing with Westeros mm-hmm. a little bit more
yeah.
at the end
sure.
of this with Varys going over talking to Dorne, talking to Olenna, and it seems like you know it was cool when Dany was going to just wreak havoc with her troops and her mm-hmm. dragons and stuff mm-hmm. and her ships, but like adding that layer of, oh, we also have the foothold in Westeros. We have
sure.
the help that we need.
Yeah.
It just felt right. And up until like last week, we weren't even talking about that.
Sure.
So.
And I even liked the scene of her with Dario and like then the scene immediately after that with Tyrion was like really good stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing where like
I feel bad for Dario. But.
But like in a way that makes sense. Not like I'm like, this is all horseshit or
right.
stupid. Like. That this all makes sense in terms of the universe, and I also feel like it's kind of Daenerys wasn't ready to do this in season 2. Daenerys is
app, just go to Westeros
to do every to do everything that a queen has to do to
right.
seize
power.
She needed
to learn some lessons,
and I feel like that this was her graduate program, and
yeah,
she is ready, and the dragons are ready, and her troops are ready, and again, there's a lot of
Westeros is ready.
Westeros is not ready.
I think Westeros is ready.
Yeah,
I think it's ripe for the picking at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a couple of wars that have just been fought. It makes me wonder, like, so, okay, obviously the Tyrells?
Is that the Marjorie's family?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay, the Tyrells, I always get the Martells and Tyrells confused.
Sure.
Tyrells are no longer allied with the Lannisters.
Nope.
That much is apparent.
Nope. In fact, the way they're talking about in Dorne, it sounds like the Lannisters has openly declared war. Because
okay.
Because that's
right.
Alaria, I think is her name, was saying, she's like, you know,
before
Olenna
laid the smack down on all of them, which was amazing. She's just an endless source of entertainment for me.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Let the grown-ass women talk.
Children. Who's ruling in the Tyrell Empire at this point?
It seems Olenna, yeah, because like, the entire ruling structure of her house got burnt up, and I like how she put it, like, they destroyed my future.
Sure.
Because she's too old for
this
shit.
She's not going to have any kids.
She's like, okay, well, Mace is a kind of a dumb fuck, but Marjorie's got some heft to her, and maybe Loras, but now, like, all that's gone. There's going to be no grandchildren. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
All that stuff she's worked her whole life for, gone.
Man, that blew my mind.
Just because Cersei... I mean, I don't know what you say about Cersei at this point. I mean... It sucks that you can't fuck your brother openly and, you know, married a person you didn't want. But she, like, wiped out a quarter of the city.
Don't get me wrong.
And I felt like they did a good job of, like, if you are inclined to think, well, all these lords and ladies and the Septons and the Sparrows and all that, fuck them. Like, they showed a lot of just people on the street.
Yeah.
Going up.
Yeah.
In flames.
That was a much bigger explosion than I expected.
Much
more violent. I mean, the High Septon, like, puts his arms out and goes up
the
whole thing.
Because I thought maybe there would be, like, well, maybe it's going to start to burn, and maybe... I was still holding out hope for Marjorie until the High Septon just incandesced.
And I'm like, nope, that's over.
It's gone. There's going to be no ambiguity about this one.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
I'm glad they did that, because I don't want people going, oh, maybe Marjorie's alive.
No,
maybe
there's no fucking way.
Loras made it out. Like,
there, she's up in that fucking stratosphere, man.
Yeah.
The winds are carrying her to Essos right as we speak. Wow.
I caught a little bit of the Inside Game of Thrones or whatever it's called. And they were talking about this, how, like, Cersei is kind of more of a threat now than she has ever been. You know, she has absolute power. She is the queen.
And she's
in
kind
King's
of a
Landing.
Mad queen now.
She doesn't have her kids to sort of rein her in, right?
No.
Like that one humanizing factor.
And that look between Jaime and Cersei, like, wow.
What is going on there?
Yeah.
I mean, is Cersei done?
Well,
with
same
Jaime?
Thing like
is Cersei just like, you know.
Also with the King and the Norfin, we did some more King and the Norfin again. And the look between Littlefinger and Sansa.
Right.
Like, he's like, looking at her like, I'm so disappointed. You're such a sucker. Although,
do you think, John?
Here's the thing. I don't know how this changes the plans, because if she wanted to, if he's going to be king in the North, she can still be a fucking princess and marry, if she wants to, be, you know, at Littlefinger's side as he sits the Iron Throne, if that's what she wants to go for.
Yeah.
And
it really seem like it. I really don't think she trusts him. Like
I don't think she trusts
him,
but also I think she respects his game skill.
Sure.
And if he's looking at her like you're you're a chump, I feel like that does probably get to her a little bit.
Yeah, because now they've just essentially declared John King of the North, and like she's left out in the cold again. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas she had the most rightful claim to Winterfell.
Well,
Lady Stark, you know?
Everyone's forgotten about Bran. Bran needs to get...
Yeah,
Bran needs to make the Weirwood scream.
He's got three eyes now. He's doing other things.
I thought they did some interesting things where, like, when Littlefinger proposed to Sansa, essentially, he did this weird reaction shot, and then they went to Bran, and I thought that suggests that, you know, maybe Bran is aware of some of these things, or he will be aware.
Yeah, he might be.
It's the same way that, Ned did the kind of, like, double take as he was making his way upstairs.
Yeah.
And I think that's super interesting. Also, you know, I thought it was interesting that Cold Hands Benjen, which he looked a lot more, his hands looked a lot more cold this episode. Yeah. It was pretty fucking sweet. he kind of reminded everybody that, hey, walls not just dice. It's right? all magical. It's, magic it's all magical and shit.
I can't cross it because right. I'm a white. Like,
but we all know that Bran's got the mark of the White Walker on him. The last time that was on him when he, you know, was inside magical protection.
They waltzed right in.
Yeah, it pierced the veil. So
right.
that, and I kind of expected to show them at least going into the wall, but I guess they don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, we made a lot of predictions.
They got a little. They got to leave a few threads.
Yeah, and that was one of them. That the wall, sure. like, if it's going to come down, it wouldn't come down this season,
right?
You know, we don't know.
I mean, I thought maybe
not,
it could. I thought, well, that's true. That this is all stuff. This isn't book spoilers. We're right. Like, I can't
pure think, speculation.
I can't think of a single fucking thing that we because for a lot of this season we were kind of spooling back some of the Dance of the Dragons B plots and remixing them right. and whatnot. I can think of. Sam at the Citadel, there's a little bit, like a couple pages more.
Okay.
But I thought, man, you know, I'm just going to lose my track. I thought the library scene was really incredible.
About that. And just,
like,
yeah, the way they shot this. I mean, Sam is home.
Yeah.
Sam.
Sure.
Sam loves this.
Like, Gilly might lose him to the fucking library.
She might.
He's forgot that he's even supposed to be a maester. He's just going to hold up shop and...
I love that look. Like, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. I got to follow this guy. I can't help you. See ya, Gilly.
Yeah. That was some interesting comedic relief.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting look at the cloistered nature of the maesters, I suppose.
Man. Man, I love this episode.
That was a sweet set, though. Like, that's like the Library of Alexandria plus.
If nobody trusted anybody and, like, all the books were chained to the fucking shelves.
And if you had, like, some science fiction-y sort of, clockwork mechanisms and light reflection schemes and all
right.
that.
Right, so those things are the Game of Thrones logo in the intro, right?
Think,
like, those concentric rings.
Yeah. I mean, definitely the sun was exactly like it was in the logo.
Right. Right, it looked like those chandeliers were the same.
Yeah, and I like the scene of getting to Old Town and the Citadel is just letting fly all the white ravens. And by the way, when Jon's like, you know, or Sansa said, "Winter is here."
Has been saying it for years.
I got super emotional at a couple points in the show. That was one of them. Davos confronting and confirming his worst fears with Melisandre.
Right, I forgot
when,
about
when he
that.
Was talking about how he loved her as his own. Like that was super powerful. I know there's
and
a couple
good on
others.
You, John. Like I like the decision he made there,
which was
I'm not going to keep Melisandre around, but I'm not going to kill her.
Yes, it's
because
like,
she did resurrect me. Her magic did work,
and like I don't. That might come. I need to put her in the fridge,
right?
Like she's down south. I can probably get her if I need her to go hurl some light magic, but I also can't have this crazy woman in my ranks.
No.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering the Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwe is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
So I don't know.
Still kind of, I still felt, I mean, the one thing I was hoping for and didn't get was something from Sansa and John to further illuminate the decision that she made to keep the Littlefinger stuff secret.
Like why she decided
to? I mean, they
to?
Talked about it, but I felt like that was words that were wind and meant pretty much nothing.
Yeah, she didn't say why, she just said it was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like what? Okay, you don't trust John, but how does that have anything to do with not giving him the information he needs to win a battle that you want him to win?
Yeah.
You know, again, like, I feel like some of the Dark Sands that the takes were accurate, but I didn't get a lot to kind of confirm that. Mm-hmm. I really think they're just going to leave it as, well, I just didn't trust you, and you withhold information to people you don't trust, and that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but whatever. Because the rest of the episode was dope.
It was. It was. At this point, don't really have any complaints. I think it was amazing, top to bottom.
Yeah.
It's kind of more than I wanted it to be.
Yeah. I wonder, because there's sometimes you get some, you know, backlash to praise, and I could see it coming in the form of, like, this is almost literal wish fulfillment. Like, every single thing that happened was things that people really want to fucking see happen.
But so much of that, it's like...
It felt like it was earned to me.
It's hard to avoid that, too, because, like, so many of these theories
feel
so ironclad at this point. Like, I could have, like I said, I was 99% sure that Cersei was going to light something up with wildfire.
Sure.
I thought it was going to be more, actually.
Yeah.
But the way it worked out was better than I could have expected with Tommen's death.
I mean, indeed.
You know, I was expecting her to blow up the high sept with him in it, and, like, or the sept of Baelor, whatever it's called. And I'm glad she didn't do that, because that, you know, that's a last ditch.
And I also thought maybe she would go up with it. Like, she would go up with it.
Right.
Like, it would be kind of a suicide thing.
Like, she's given up.
But, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't feel like she saw Tommen killing himself coming.
No, she didn't.
Like, that he would be so devastated. I mean, definitely that his wife was burnt, but I also think, like, he kind of took this king shit seriously. And when we look out and see a quarter of it devastated, and you kind of know it was your mom that did it, just so she can avoid punishment that you kind of are coming around to the idea that she deserves. Like, how do you want to stick around to see how those history books are written? They were shown on the window, I'm like, okay, he might be jumping out of here. But on the other hand, like, if Tommen really digs deep and says, okay, I gotta be a king now, and I'm gonna put my mom to death and all that kind of stuff. And like, man, and I was starting to turn something, and then he jumps out the window, and I'm like, well, no, that's about right.
Yeah, see, I thought they were just lingering on the sept burning, and like the aftermath of this going.
Yeah,
this is gonna have consequences. Oh, and yes. It does.
Yes, and they
immediate and devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that's pretty good.
That was the most unexpected thing for me, and the thing that honestly felt the best. I just like the way that they filmed that.
Yeah, and just how gleeful Cersei was in her ultimate victory, and then how it instantly just turned to ash.
Right.
And you know, it's
the only bit of that prophecy left. Mm-hmm. For Cersei herself to go down.
And oh, the other time I got emotional, Tyrion getting the hand of the queen pin.
Right.
That was such a great moment.
Were you emotional because it was a touching moment?
Yeah, and like this...
Or were you emotional because it might be destroying, it might be eroding at your democracy ending for Game of Thrones?
I mean, you're going to need a fucking head of parliament. You're going to need a prime minister.
But she's essentially saying, I'm queen.
Yeah, but so is fucking Elizabeth II. She still has prime ministers.
Okay.
One who just cocked shit up and is going to resign over it. Fair. You know, so like that's analogous to the hand of the king.
And no, we see how that all turned out.
Right.
Oh, God.
Shit. I think that my parliamentary democracy monarchy thing is still in play. Yeah. But no, I thought it was touching on multiple levels. Just that, like, I feel like finally Daenerys trusts Tyrion. Mm-hmm. That, like, you know, this is everything that Tyrion wanted to believe in, something that speech he gave about belief and how he's always wanted to do something that matters, and now he's got it, and not just like just keep this fucking thing warm for me while I tie up this whole Robb Stark situation. I'm gonna yank it right back. And like the fact that he feels valued and respected as a person, and the way they staged that on those steps, just to have him kind of almost see eye level with her.
I noticed that.
Because he talks about how he never even believed in himself. Mm-hmm. So like his stature is rising in his own eyes.
It's a good moment for Tyrion, too.
The visual storytelling was just off the charts in this episode.
One other question for you. I don't want
to
talk.
And also everybody that gave 10.0 to last week's episode, are you going to give this 11?
Right.
That's what happens, fuckers.
That's why we gave it a 9.5.
That's why we gave a little chuff, because this is what you get. This is a great episode.
I think so. One question for you regarding Dany's empire that she's built here in, you know, Essos. She's leaving Daario in charge of it, right?
Yes.
With what forces?
I think I said this last week. I feel like you could leave like 1,000 or 2,000, Unsullied, and 10,000 Dothraki, and maybe a couple more thousand Second Sons, and with Daario in charge, it'll probably be okay. Now, like, the thing, like, I don't know that I trust Daario not to be, like, 3 months into this, like, you know what, fuck it. Mm-hmm. Although, Dany said just basically, plow as many women as you want, I'm probably going to marry a king, so, like, why not rule a city, if not a whole continent, and, so what's the percentage of him, you know, just abandoning his post because he's bored with it?
I don't know.
I feel like
I'm more worried that he won't have the forces he needs to hold it. Like, she took too much with her to Westeros.
But she also, like, completely devastated the Master's forces as well.
Right, she did, yeah.
Yeah, like, they were probably mostly slave soldiers or conscripts, and she just took out them and all their ships, so the Masters, even they wanted to be, and killed a lot of their political leaders, are not going to be a force for a while. So I think that
maybe Braavos.
I mean, you could be right, but I think that we're not meant to be worried about it.
Okay.
Stark flag flying on the clockwork Winterfell this episode. Nice attention to detail.
Right. You said you were going to look for that.
I thought, and I was like, yes, as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, extended intro with all the different locations, because they went everywhere.
They did.
Everywhere that we've got an important plot point, except
maybe
the Hound. I don't know if he's got more to do, but you know, that's the one place they didn't go.
Yep.
Everywhere else was touched.
But the Mountain still lives.
The Mountain does still live.
So
the Cleganebowl
so
still
some
lives.
Weak hype. The hype is just barely hanging on.
True. The one other thing about Dany that I think didn't really sit right with me is the idea that she would marry herself off to a king. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to nitpick, or not nitpick, but are going to be rightfully upset that Dani has been talking about fucking destroying this wheel. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to go over there and make alliances by doing the same thing they've been doing for generations and marrying a man who's going to be king?
Well, no, because that's the thing. Like, I guess I... Because that was confusing to me, and I don't know if you can tell, but I've read up a lot on the British monarchy in the last year or two, because I think it's fascinating, not just because of recent events and all that. Uh-huh. But, like, so the queen, Queen Elizabeth obviously is married to a man, Prince Philip, I believe. He's not king. Like... If you know, the king's wife is like honorarily called the queen, but she has no real power. If the king dies, she doesn't become queen.
Right. That's what
but when you're the queen, capital Q, it's the other way around. Like, you can marry someone and they don't get to be king, and your kids are the ones that sit the throne. So okay, I feel like so that's like if change. She marries, it's she's not marrying and there's going to be a king and she sits behind him. No. Right. If any, it's just going to be, a device to have children and further the dynasty.
Okay. She could have done that with Dario. Come on.
True.
If you want to be queen and you want to take your
dragons.
But Tyrion's
like saying you can marry some prince from Dorne or prince from Tyrell and like cement an alliance forever. Or you can bring your boy toy over and just give up that free card to play.
I feel like she doesn't need it.
No,
like,
that's the thing.
100,000 Dothraki, dragons,
yeah.
Unsullied,
I like what she said, though, that like I might not marry anyone because I might not need it, and I could just be,
Did she say that? I must have missed
that. Yeah, I could just be like a Catherine. I don't know. Is Catherine a great one that never got married, but she kind of... like has a reputation for being pretty.
I don't know anything about British history.
That was now we're talking about. I think Russians.
Russians. I know less about Russian history. So there you go.
Well, and I can't even be sure which nationality I'm talking about.
Great.
But no, I think there's some definitely historical models for like these. Quote unquote virgin queens. There's who knows what's all on the table and John like I. The other thing is. If Sansa's Lady of Winterfell, doesn't she have the power to legitimize Jon?
I kept saying throughout the episode, all right, clearly I've got everyone on my side now, Sansa. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Everyone, you hear this King of the North shit that's going on in this room right now that you're sitting in? Fucking name me a Stark. Stand up, go, yeah, you're right.
I suppose if he's
Stark you.
If he's the king, then he can just legitimize his own damn self. Like, that's
one
of the
powers. Maybe it's going to be a House of Snow. I mean...
Yeah, because Ramsay legitimized, like, I feel like just whatever the ranking member of your family just has to recognize you, and boom, you're in.
Right.
So,
and
like,
I kept waiting for Sansa. Like,
maybe that
it.
Has to be rubber stamped by the king, but fuck it, Jon's the king now. So, like, bam, I'm a Stark.
Yeah.
More than Ned's blood's flowing through. I'm just a Stark.
I mean, it gives him an opportunity to make a sweet ass, come up with a new sweet ass house sigil for Snow, come up with some awesome words. Well,
it's a snowflake.
I said sweet ass, not like. Candy ass.
It is. It's a snowflake on a peppermint swirl background.
That's the worst house symbol of all. And then some sweet ass house words. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like,
we know nothing.
Oh my god. Well, you've destroyed my wishes.
One said he was a great king in the north.
He's just the king.
Yeah. He's not great battle tactics, not the great words comer upper, not the great greatest sigil designer.
All right. Well, I feel bad for him.
And then all the bastards would be legit. He just automatically legitimize all bastards and born in the north. They're all his children.
Except for those stupid sands down in the south.
Well,
them.
Obviously they're born in
Snow
Dorne.
House, yeah.
So, yeah, great episode all around. I feel confident that we probably haven't covered everything, but as we say, that's what the Tuesday podcast is for.
Yep.
One topic I want to bring up for the spoiler edition is typically I do like differences from books to the show, like, concurrent, like up to the point for the wrap-up podcast. And so if you've got some differences that you want to talk about in that, so we can kind of, because also you got to be careful. I want to make sure I don't like spoil anything because there's just a little bit left that maybe could be spoiled. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can game plan our wrap-up coverage for the spoiler podcast.
Okay.
So that's an invitation. GameofThrones at baldmove.com. to send me stuff about that or anything else you want to talk about for this episode for the Tuesday podcast. And forums.baldmove.com if you want to talk to your fellow friends.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see you guys on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. Good night. One other thing before we go, while we're talking about, you know, game planning or end of year coverage and all that, is if you'd like to support us, if you've liked our podcast through this season, I know a lot of people have found this, you know, just this season, and you want to support what we do here in our independent podcast, we would love to have you in our club at club.baldmove.com, where you can get ad-free feeds and you can get extra bonus content. You can watch us live record the podcasts. You can get VIP access. Again, there's bonus. We just did, like, for example, a full spoiler review for Independence Day, the regurgitation, I think. Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that was something only for club members. A lot of cool stuff. And again, the most important thing is you help support independent podcasters. Me and Jim, we're just doing it for the love, hoping we can eat the next day. Live the podcast another day, and you can help at club.baldmove.com.